will seem somewhat of an odd message to you, I imagine. I've mentioned what I'm going to deal with this morning before in the past, but I haven't exclusively preached on it. So if we look at the book of Colossians chapter 2, we want to focus now. Last year at this time, we preached from Colossians 2:10 and also run this text, this message, on our radio broadcast because I thought it was important. But we're mainly going to focus on verse 11. You've got two ye are's. You got two ye are's mentioned. One ye are mentioned in verse 10, and another ye are mentioned in verse 11. And we're going to focus on the one mentioned in verse 11 of Colossians chapter 2. Notice verse 10. Ye are complete in Him. You see the first one? Ye are complete in Him. And folks, that's as far as your salvation is concerned. Your salvation is complete as far as everything that needed to take care of your sin debt and send you to heaven has all been taken care of in Jesus Christ. There's very few places or preachers anymore, really, that preaches a salvation that's complete in Christ. There's always something lacking. And you know, here, well, Jesus is part of it. Folks, Jesus has to be all of it. Hence the term complete in Him. And you can never be complete outside of Him. And you can't be complete in and of yourself, period. So you're complete in Him. I'm not going to re-preach that message. But let's read on. Verse 2. In whom, now who's the in whom again? We're talking about Jesus. You're complete in Jesus. Of course, that gives us peace, doesn't it? The only way you can have peace and rest in salvation is knowing that you're complete in Christ. But now it says that ye are circumcised. You are complete in verse 9, or I'm sorry, verse 10. And then it says you are circumcised. You are circumcised in verse 11. Does everybody see that? Ye are complete and ye are what? Circumcised. So he's talking to the same group of people that had trusted the Messiah, and he wanted them to know that they were complete in Christ. And then he also wanted them to know that ye are circumcised. Now, that sounds funny to us because we don't preach on it nowhere near enough. But what you got to understand, this was a big issue during the days of the early church, was this subject of circumcision. You can read about it in the book of Genesis 17, where the Lord gave the covenant of circumcision to Abraham. Of course, we do it in our land. It's more of a medical procedure, but theirs was a religious rite. It was a token of the covenant that God made with Abraham. They were to circumcise every little Hebrew boy at 8 days old. And you know what else it said? In Genesis 17, if you never circumcise your son, they'll be cut off from Israel. They could have no part of Israel, I want you to hear this, unless they had been circumcised. Okay? That's how strict that was. You'll remember in the book of Genesis, whenever the man of Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. One of the demands was, well, if we're going to do that, then you all have to be circumcised. You all have to be circumcised. Of course, then Levi and Simeon, while all the men had done that, went in at night with swords and killed them all. Because he had raped their sister. So it was something. So circumcision was a big deal. So when we come down into the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul had went forth and was teaching the Gentiles that they were saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That you didn't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And then what happened is you had a problem, is that there was people that was coming, the Judaizers, you can read about it in Acts 15. The Jews were coming in, the unbelieving Jews were coming in saying, wait a minute, it's okay if you believe in Jesus. Yeah, you always have a problem when someone does this. So, all right, yeah, you need to believe in Jesus, but whenever they say that, you know you got a false gospel. But unless we circumcise you, after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Acts chapter 15, you can read about it. It was a big issue during the days of the early church, and the church settled the issue in Acts chapter 15. That salvation was by grace through faith, that you didn't have to circumcise the Gentiles. We're not to do that because their faith in Christ is sufficient to save them, and they are complete in Him. All God's people said. Well, while he was on the subject, he said, ye are circumcised. You see? I mean, you can imagine that as the Jew, the Ashers would cry out, hey, wait a minute, you haven't been circumcised. These people's not completely saved. Wait a minute, he said, they are complete in him. And while I'm on the subject, they are circumcised. So that's going to be the message today. We're going to title this message, The Circumcision of Christ. The circumcision of Christ. You see it in verse 11. And the focus of it is verse 11. It says, in whom ye are circumcised, the in whom is Christ, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So ye are circumcised. We'll give you 3 points this morning. 3 points. We're going to look at the description of this circumcision. The description. We're going to describe it. Okay? Number two, we're going to show you the importance of it. The importance of it. Without this circumcision, you can't be part of Israel today either. The importance of it. And number three, the characteristics of it. Those who've had this circumcision, that is talking about this circumcision of Christ, we're going to show you their characteristics. Three of them. Got a lot to do. Excited. Worked a lot of hours on this. Been in overtime on this message. That don't make it a blessing to you, though. Only the Holy Spirit can. So let's go ahead and dive into it, okay? Well, notice it says that this circumcision is a circumcision in verse 11 that is without hands. Everybody say without hands. You see, the other circumcision was a circumcision with hands. They used the knife and cut away the foreskin of the little Jewish boys. They did that. This was a circumcision without hands. Well, this was a circumcision that was not physical. This is a circumcision that is spiritual. It's not a circumcision that's outward. It's a circumcision that's inward. It's not a circumcision done by man. It's a circumcision done by Christ. And the day that He performs this circumcision on you that's inside is the day that He saves your soul. Hence the term, ye are circumcised. We all know, if you've come here very, very long, we all know that the things they did in the Old Testament that God gave them to do were shadows, pictures, and types. Do we all know that? When we're talking about, you know, the lambs in the Old Testament, all the sacrifice, ceremonial sacrifices in the Old Testament, it all pictured Jesus. And they offered a lamb every morning and every evening in Israel. It was a total burnt offering that they offered up every day to the Lord. And when Jesus come on the scene, what John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God. You see, we all realize the typology of those things. We also realize that the tabernacle itself, even the altar there was a picture of the cross. The tabernacle itself was a picture to show the way to heaven. I could go on and on. We've talked about a lot of those types. All those Jewish feast days were pictures of some great New Testament truth. Well, folks, circumcision's the same way. Very rarely do you hear anyone deal with the picture of circumcision. It's a glorious picture of salvation. That's why he says it. And it's alluded to over and over again in the Old Testament. It talks about this circumcision of the heart over in several different places in the Old Testament, which we'll look at. Well, we realize it's a picture, but what does it picture? We realize it's inward. We realize it's done by Christ. That's the reason why it's called the circumcision of Christ. We realize it's called these things, but what did it picture? Well, let's look back at Colossians 2, verse 11. What did it picture is my question. What did this circumcision, this circumcision of Christ, what did it picture? It says, ye are circumcised. He's talking to these believers at the church of Colossae and at the church of Laodicea. Ye are circumcised. Now, I can do the same thing for you here this morning. If you're here this morning and saved and you've trusted Christ, ye are circumcised and ye are complete in Christ. Men and women. Men and women. Circumcised. Both get this circumcision in Christ. It's without hands. And it's the putting off. Now, look at what it says in verse 11. It's the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision which is of Christ. What does the circumcision in the Old Testament, that cutting of that foreskin in the Old Testament, what's that a picture of? It's a picture that one of these days, it pictures of the cutting away of our sin through Christ. Do you realize the day that you trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior, He circumcised your heart? And you know what He did? He cut away your sin. How much of it did He cut away? The whole body. All of it. Sin nature, all of it. Now, I'm not saying you don't have a sinful nature, but all the curse and penalty for the sin nature, He completely put your sins away. He cut it away. I've had a spiritual circumcision. Before I was saved, I was uncircumcised before God. But the day I trusted the Messiah, He cut my sins away. And now we're circumcised in Him. See? Isn't that a glorious picture? And that's what this circumcision in the Old Testament, very important you see this. The circumcision in the Old Testament was a picture of the spiritual circumcision under the New Covenant. It pictures a complete cutting away of sin. Aren't you glad? Well, if you look down in the context of this scripture, what is stressed in 12, 13, and 14 is the removal of sin. So not only does it use this as an illustration, this circumcision of the heart as an illustration, this circumcision of Christ as an illustration, but he goes down and stresses the forgiveness of sins throughout the text. And we're going to jump down to verse 14 and go backwards. If it's all right with you, I just want to do it that way. And I can because I'm up here. You're not. Verse 14. Now it says that he blotted out. Everybody say blotted out. Blotted out. That means he wiped away. To wipe away. Okay? It says he wiped away the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us is the law. The law. Now, the Ten Commandments is part of it, but it includes the ceremonial law, too. It says he wiped that away. Well, you know what the Ten Commandments says about me? It says you've broke me. And the Ten Commandments says, and this is true of everybody, that's why I was with a guy one time and he did something good and he said, "Boy, Lord, put that one down. That one of these days, if you put that down, one of these days, you know, when the Lord brings these balances out, then my good ones will outweigh my bad ones." Well, there ain't nobody going to heaven that way. You'll always be incomplete. As a matter of fact, if you committed one sin, then the Bible says that you broke God's law. And if you break God's law, one sin, you're cursed. That's the handwriting that's against you. And they did that back in this day and time. If you owed somebody something, they did it to prisoners, but they also did it to people that owed any kind of debt. There would be and we do it today. We call them a bill. A bill, something you owe. You know, you come up, you buy this candle, or you know, and I can't pay it now. So you got, I owe you. I'm gonna pay you. You owe for this. See. Well, folks, you owe a debt you can't pay. You owe a debt you can't pay in and of yourself. See? And you know what the Lord did to that debt? The law says that Jeff Arthur, try to find at least a part of it. The law says, the handwriting that was against me, the law says that I'm cursed. Galatians 3:10, cursed. I have a curse on me. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did with that curse? He wiped it out. He wiped it out. It's gone. See? He removed your sin. Not only did He circumcise you, but He blotted out that offense, that breaking of the law that you've done, that curse of the law that was on you. He wiped it out. All God's people say it. But not only did He wipe it out, but it says He took it. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says He took it out of the way. He did what? He took it. He not only wiped it away, but He took it out of the way. What did He do with it? He nailed it to His cross. I thought it was interesting. I didn't get to go see the source of it, but they said one of the Eastern customs is if a man paid his debt, you know what they did to it? They took and they nailed it. They nailed it to a beam. Said paid in full across the top of it. It stamped paid in full. And then they nailed it to a beam. I thought that sounds good. I don't know whether they did that or not, but I read it in one of the books that I was reading after. Sure did sound good, but I'm going to tell you one thing. That's exactly what Jesus did with your sin. He took it. What did He do? That curse that belonged to Jeff Arthur, He nailed it to His cross. Nothing left nowhere for me to pay. And that's the reason why when he said from the cross, it is finished, that's tetelestia, ever how you want to pronounce it, which means paid in full. So he took that handwriting that was against you, that curse of the law, and he nailed it to his cross. The day that, you know, you say, the law says, Jeff, you owe me a death because you're a sinner. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, that's when that curse was paid. My sins are removed. As Jesus said, as far as the east is from the west. You see that in verse 14? He took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross. Look up at verse 13 now. And you who were dead in your sins, what's dead mean? No spiritual life. So the reason why you're alive is because the Lord made you alive. Ye were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and he quickened you, he made you alive together with him, and having forgiven you what? All trespasses. He'd forgive you all your sins. How many is that? All your trespasses. I want you to understand something. If he never forgave you for all your trespasses, one sin would be sufficient to send you to hell for. Do you know that? Do you know how important this is? Until you realize that you've had a spiritual circumcision, that he has wiped away your sin, that he nailed that curse to the cross, and until you know that he forgave you for all your sin, you'll never have no peace. You'll always be afraid that you missed one. You ever speak to someone that didn't have any peace? Oh, they made a profession of faith in church and they went forward and all of those things. But what they do is they go forward and make their profession and they think, aha, I'm caught up to here. Lord's took care of all my sins up to this point. Now all the other ones, I'm going to get paid for as I go. What if you miss one? How could you ever be comfortable? That's the reason why false preachers say, you need to get prayed up so you can get caught up. Prayed up. Remember, confession of your sin after you're saved is done for the purpose of fellowship. As far as the law is concerned, your debt's paid in full. Oh, God's people say it. Very important that you understand that, because you can never have peace on a deathbed unless you believe this. Never will you have peace till you realize you're complete in Christ. Until you realize that the day you trusted Him, He circumcised your heart and He cut away your sin. And He forgives you all your iniquities. And He took your debt and He wiped it clean. And then He nailed it to His cross. Isn't a glorious thing being saved? Well, turn to the book of Romans chapter 4. I'll just show you this. And I read this on Wednesday night, so I'm not going to go into detail with it. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 7. It says, blessed are they whose iniquities are what? Forgiven, whose sins are covered. And verse 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. He will not impute sin. Will not impute sin. Now, to impute means to charge to your account. If it says he will not impute sin to you, what happened to it? He imputed all your sin to Christ. He nailed it to his cross. You see the point? It's all been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, he says. He says in under the new covenant that their sins and iniquities, I will remember them. You know why there's only one offering for sin? Because that one offering sufficiently put away your sins forever. And in a glorious thing, he forgives all your iniquities, all of them, and removes them. Everybody see it? I mean, if you look down there, he talks about your circumcision. You've received a circumcision, cutting away the body of sin. Then he goes down in the text and describes it even further. He's just talking about forgiveness, forgiveness. Why is he going into such detail? He's explaining why ye are complete in him. Because you had all your sins removed. Isn't it glorious? Isn't it a wonderful thing to behold? Well, let me mention one more and then we'll move on back to Colossians chapter 2. I hope you enjoy it. but it's a blessing whether you enjoy it or not. Colossians chapter 2 knows what it says. Now let's look up at verse 12. I just went in reverse. Just went in reverse order. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with him, it uses baptism illustration. You know, baptism is a picture of the removal of sin. Now, I've heard some say, and I really believe they're wrong. They say that that baptism replaced circumcision. And then they make baptism essential for salvation. Let's be clear. Circumcision was a picture not of baptism, but circumcision was a picture of your cutting away of sins at salvation. You see what it says? Baptism is also a picture of the putting away of sins. After that, you're saved. You see the term buried? What is buried? Under. I've done so many funerals over the years. But anyway, besides that, when I go to a burial, they bury him. They don't sprinkle dirt on him. It's a burial. Because, see, baptism is a picture of the gospel message that you trusted that saved you. Watch it. Death, burial, resurrection. They're showing forth the message they trusted that saved their soul. It's not what washes their sins away, but it's a picture of it. Baptism, you know what happened to old Jeff's simple, dead, worthless, no good life? It was buried. It's dead and buried. When did it die? It died when Jesus did. Galatians 2 said, we're crucified with Christ. When was my debt paid? When Christ died. The way the law sees it, when the law looks at me today, it says, hey, he's died. When did I die? When Jesus did. And baptism's a picture that old dead, old sinful life's dead and buried. And now what am I walking in? Walking in new life. New life. New position. Sin's put away. Christ's righteousness is imputed. A child of the King. And isn't it awesome? Well, ye are circumcised. I can say the same thing. If you're here today and saved, ye are circumcised. Not on the out. Not, it's not talking about a physical circumcision, but it's a spiritual circumcision. And it took place today that you're saved. And it's a complete cutting away of the sin of your flesh. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it an awesome picture? Now turn to Romans 2. That's a description of it. Now I want to show you how important it is. The most important thing, this is truth. The most important thing in the world is to have a circumcised heart. The most important thing in the world is to have this circumcision of Christ. Nothing any more of value. If you're without Christ, then you stand before Him uncircumcised. If you're in Christ, then you've had this circumcision. Outside of Christ, you'll always be incomplete no matter what you try to do. In Christ, you are complete because you are circumcised. All right. Now let's look at the importance of this circumcision. In Romans 2, notice verse 28. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now, I didn't write that. The Scripture says it. He is not a Jew. It actually gives you a definition of what the true Jew is. Let me go further. When God Almighty, when El Shaddai looks down from heaven upon this earth, here's what He defines as a Jew, because it's His words. Here's how He defines the true Jew. He is not a Jew, he said, which is one outwardly. Neither is he that circumcision which is outward. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. I love that. True Jew today is the one that's trusted the Messiah Jesus. And has had a cutting away of their sins of the flesh. And they stand before God uncircumcised. Or stand before God circumcised. Okay? I mentioned this earlier. And I got time. I'm going to take the time. But just turn to Genesis 17 and I'll show you something. I mentioned this earlier. I probably don't need to do it. But do I have to apologize every time I turn to a text? No, I don't. So don't worry about that. Genesis 17 and verse 14. Proof text. You got to prove what you're saying, then you can look it up and see whether it's so. Now, in Genesis 17, God told him, in verse 9, God said to Abraham, "Thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant you shall keep, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Okay, now let's look on down into the verse 14. "And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be what? He'll be cut off from his people." In other words, the soul in Israel that wasn't circumcised was cut off from the nation. They couldn't be a part of the nation without circumcision. Did that picture anything? Sure does. Under the new covenant, if you're going to be a part of the Israel of God, if you're going to be a fellow citizen with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the olive tree of Israel, which Romans 11 talks about, if you're going to be a part of that, you have to have this spiritual circumcision or you'll be cut off from the nation. That's why I say it's the most important thing to ever happen to anyone. Say, "Oh, Jeff, I'd like to have that circumcision." Well, only Jesus can do it. And the only way it can get done is by you receiving Him as your Savior, realizing that He died on the cross for you and rose again the third day, trusting Him and Him alone as the means of saving you. And then you know what He does the moment you do it? He gives you a circumcised heart. And circumcision went with being a part of the nation. Same way. See the picture? Do you see the picture? Isn't it beautiful? I'm a part of Israel. That's why he says in the book of Galatians, they that be of faith are the seed of Abraham. And it's why Jesus said in the book of Matthew that many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Me, a Gentile by physical birth, is considered a part of his nation, fellow citizens with the household of God. So, hey, you haven't been circumcised. Oh, yes, I am. Yeah. I have a circumcised heart through Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. Most important thing in the world. So not only why is it important? Because it's essential for you to be a part of His kingdom. Unless you've had this, you will not be a part of His kingdom. If Jesus would come at 15 to 12 and you've not trusted Christ, you would be before Him uncircumcised and you would be cut off from Israel. That glorious nation where there's no... will be ruled over by a perfect prince, perfect people, in a perfect land. Okay? What other blessings are there? Well, let me show you a couple more. Just one more. You know what the circumcised heart does to you? Not only does it cut away your sin, but it makes you loving. It changes you. If someone really has a circumcised heart, it changes their heart. There's a lot of people that profess Christ that don't seemingly have a circumcised heart because they don't have no love for the Lord and they don't have no love for the things of God. You see, I can't see to the heart, can you? I can't see it. You just watch what you see on the outside, obviously, but all we go by is professions. But the importance of this circumcised heart is when it actually takes place, it changes a person. It not only cuts away your sin, but it changes you. Here's something else I want you to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. It says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed." What's the result of that? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, that thou mayest may live. When you have a circumcised heart, it makes you love the Lord. Doesn't it? Well, I can understand people not loving me, but I can't never understand nobody loving the Lord, somebody not loving the Lord that's been saved by Him. I really can't. When He's circumcised, when He's cut away your sin, and He's give you this true circumcision, it develops in your heart a love for the Lord. I do love Him. I do love Him. He died for me. He substituted Himself for me. And it produces a love in here. But it also produces a thirst for Him, a thirst for spiritual things. And we talk about those things. Okay? That's why we can't be happy in sin. Because we've had a circumcised... See, when you've had a circumcised heart, you can't be happy in it. You may drift into it, but you'll be miserable until you're back in fellowship with Him. You see what I'm saying? So, that's why it's so important. Circumcised heart is what He's talking about in the book of Hebrews when He says, I'll put My laws in their heart. I'll put My laws in their heart. See, in the Old Covenant, He put His laws on the tables of stone, and they never kept them. They broke the law before He ever got down off the mountainside. He said, we'll come a day, I'll circumcise their heart, and they'll love Me. And they'll love Me. And they'll want to obey Me. See, won't always do because of our old sinful flesh and mistakes we make. But it's not, if you're here today and you're saved, it's not the greatest desire of your heart to please and obey the Lord. Is that not there? That's a sign of a circumcised heart, you see. See, that's the importance of it. What's the importance of it? You can't be a part of Israel without it. You'll be cut off from the nation unless you have it done. And number two, it changes you. It changes you. See, he said, you can read, you can run references on those texts and see other references. He said, be no longer stiff-necked, but circumcise your heart, He said in the book of Deuteronomy. What's it mean to be stiff-necked? Refusing to submit to the Lord. Okay. All right, now let's turn to the characteristics of. We looked at the definition of it. We explained it in Colossians chapter 2, what it was, the description of it. Can think of the word. We looked at the description of circumcision, this circumcision of the heart. Okay? Then we looked at the importance of it. Now let's look at the characteristics of those who have the circumcised heart. We done talked about a couple, really. I could have probably grouped that under one, but I wanted to get 3 points because I like to have 3 points. Philippians chapter 3. Watch this now. Here we go again. He uses this same terminology. For we are the circumcision. There you have the term used again. Colossians use the term circumcision. You see, Colossians 2 said, ye are circumcised, didn't it? Ye are complete, ye are circumcised. Here it says in Philippians 3, we are the circumcision. Now, there's an important point there that probably because it did me the same way. It just flowed right over my head. Who wrote Philippians and who wrote Colossians? Paul did. These churches, by physical birth, were Gentiles. Saved under the ministry of Paul. And now Paul, this former Pharisee that had had circumcision at 8 days old, now addresses these Jews, or addresses these Gentiles, these men that have trusted Christ at these different cities. And now he writes to them and he says, we are the circumcision. You see, we, that includes himself. He calls these Gentiles circumcised and calls himself circumcised. Because what the new covenant has done, no thanks to dispensationalism, what the new covenant has done is it's took the Jew and the Gentile and it's made us both one in Christ. Fellow citizens in the household of God. Fellow what? Citizens, Ephesians chapter 2. You'll see it if you come on Sunday nights when we get to 10 years from now, when we get to Ephesians 2. It says fellow citizens. It also says in Ephesians 2, He's made us both one and broke down that middle wall of partition that separated us. Broke it down. How did He break it down? He's circumcised under the new covenant. He circumcised both Jew and Gentile with his spiritual circumcision. He cuts away your sin, and that's done in Christ the day you're saved. What's our characteristics? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Number one, we are the circumcision. Here's three characteristics. Worship God in the Spirit. That means your worship isn't just outward. The worship is inward. I can't make you worship. I can only control my own worship with the Lord's help. I try to get you to worship as a worship leader. Well, you can worship. But I just don't worship on Sundays and Wednesdays. I worship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I spend time with my God, and I spend time in His Word. You say, well, that's where you're full time. Well, no, that's really not. I did that for the 26 years. I did two jobs. Except it was a lot harder then because of the time process. I would be working, and I'd be thinking about messages. I'd be thinking about scriptures, and the Holy Spirit would bless me, and I'd get the outline and run over to my working table and write the outline down, and I'd think about the first point, second point. I spent time with the Lord. I sound so pretty in them trailers that doesn't have them big 53-foot trailers that don't have any wood on the side of them singing. I'd sing to Him. I worship Him every day. But I want to come to the public place of worship. He's the one that established the institution of the church for the purpose of teaching His people, ministering His ordinances, and spreading His gospel. Doesn't it make sense? He established an institution to do that. He did. Worship Him in the Spirit. It's not all show. So much of worship today is all show. It's just nothing but a show. You say, well, you don't know. I don't, because I can't see the heart, but it appears to be a show. A lot of it turns me off. And I think the increasingly thing that you're seeing done today is this has been pushed out. There's been people that said, oh my, I couldn't sit and listen to Him for 45 minutes. Now, it might be because I'm such a bad preacher, but it also might be because they don't want to hear the Word for 45 minutes. When I think the spotlight in a church service should be the Word of God. Singing's about the Word of God, you see. This is how you grow. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to bring growth. This is what the Holy Spirit... Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the... that ye may grow thereby. What did Paul tell the Ephesian elders that came to him in Acts 20? Feed the flock! Feed them! That's what a pastor's supposed to do. He's not an entertainer. Shouldn't want him to be. That's what churches is hiring. Boy, you ought to hear him. He tells the best jokes. You want to listen to a comedian, turn on the television set. Church is a place where you're supposed to listen to the Word. That's the way I believe a church is supposed to be, and I'm sure you do too. Worship God in the Spirit. Number two, rejoice in Messiah Jesus. You see it in you? Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to heaven because I'm such a good person. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Period. I don't rejoice in myself. I don't brag on all the marvelous things that I've done over the years. I believe anything's been done, the Lord's done it. I believe apart from His grace, I'd still be in my sin. So, we rejoice in Messiah Jesus. That's our rejoicing. That's our boasting. We rejoice in Him because we're complete in Him. I mean, you can rejoice in Messiah like you should if you're only half in Him. You're complete in Him. You have everything you need to save you from your sin and send you to heaven in Christ. I rejoice in Him. Several times on the radio broadcast, I implore people that are listening to say, if you say you're saved, why do you say that you're saved? Why do you say it? Why do you say you're saved? Well, I say I'm saved because Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. That's why I'm saved. Period. And the day that I did that, the day that I trusted Him, He cut away the filth of my flesh. He cut away, He paid my sin debt, doesn't charge sin to me, and He took that curse of the law that I owed and He nailed it to His cross. And He declared me righteous based on what Jesus did. I've got a circumcised heart. And that's why it says, ye are the circumcision. Worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Messiah Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Now, boy, you talk about a separating subject as that one. I have no confidence in my flesh as far as salvation is concerned. None. My sole hope of heaven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Sole hope. He's why I'm going. Period. I am complete in Him. You see, that's how the thief went. That's how the thief went. And he didn't have a thing to offer the Lord. He couldn't do anything. He was dying. He couldn't claim his good works. He couldn't claim his good deeds. For crying out loud, he was a criminal. And when he called upon the name of the Lord, Jesus cut away his sins. He became the circumcised. Beautiful picture, isn't it? I pray that you was made to worship this morning. If you're here and saved, a text like this makes you rejoice as you see the picture of what circumcision pictures, as you see the importance, and as you look at the characteristics. If you're here this morning and unsaved, you need this. You need the circumcised heart. You need your sins cut away. And Jesus can, and Jesus will, right there where you're at this morning. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the call upon him means that you realize you're a sinner, and you're undone, and you realize Christ died for you, and you trust Him. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to trust that You died for me. And He'll cut your sins away. So, well, I'm too bad. No, no. Who told you that? The devil tells people that. He can wash you clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah 1 says, they can be as white as snow. You can have a new life today. New life and a new beginning. A new home. You can have a new home, new life, new beginning if you have this circumcised heart. If you're here this morning and want to talk to me about it further, maybe you here don't know whether you're saved or not, you come on up. I'll stay up here for just a moment after the services. But as we dismiss in prayer, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. I remind you that tonight, we've got several away today, but Harlan's preaching up at Anthony, up at where Jeff preaches at, my son.